Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Sexy, huh?
You ready?
We are. Every Wednesday, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us. Tim, what's going on?
Got an interesting week, huh, fellas?
It has been an interesting couple of days of shows. We knew this day was coming, and hats off to the NFL that they made it through 3 weeks of a schedule before finally a hiccup would happen. Unfortunately, the hiccup happened to be in our backyard, but I still think it's a victory, a small victory for the NFL that it took this long for this to happen, right? We knew it was a matter of not if it would happen, when would it happen?
Correct. I think we definitely felt like, hey, you know, when would it happen? I don't know that I would call it a victory for the NFL until we, you know, continue to play games, not have to cancel games, not have to reschedule games with, you know, virtually no window to reschedule them in. So, you know, I don't know how I would say it's a victory yet. If you just look at what's happened in college football, well, I mean, give you an example. Virginia Tech, who I had this past weekend, they were three games that they were planning on playing prior to the game that they played. And, you know, so they've almost kind of used up their ability to reschedule games. And I think they played last week. Now they won. They played last week because I think they felt like they had to because they run out of room to reschedule. So I don't know. I just don't know. Like, is playing I don't know how playing Tuesday is any different with, like, what the guidelines are to, you know, in terms of close proximity and, you know, having to basically quarantine even with a negative test. Like, negative tests right now in some ways are irrelevant, right? Like, because you might not get a negative right now. Like, that's the whole point of the...
In other words, you could have it, but not test positive until several days later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is based on what everybody is saying we need to do, is if there is a positive test in your home, okay, just let's use your home, because when these guys are in a locker room facility or, you know, practicing with each other, they're in close proximity of one another. If you have a positive test in your home, your negative test doesn't matter. You still have to, for 2 weeks, quarantine. Right? I mean, that's...
Well, they're saying 10 days, right?
Okay, 10 days.
Okay.
So, you know, at that point, you know, that's what you do. What I'm saying is, let's just say, here you go, there are players that are on a plane, you know, together, and we have four positive tests. Well, the negative tests on a Wednesday, like, does that mean anything based on what they're telling, you know, what matters, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is it's good news, but it may not be, you may not totally be in the clear until several days after that, right?
Yeah, it's great that there weren't 50 positive tests.
Right.
But what everybody is, what we are being told as a general public is your negative test doesn't matter. Right? If one of my kids tested positive, okay, and the other one got a negative test, they can't go to school. Right? So,
let's just apply it to the players now. If one guy tests positive, were those guys in close proximity? They flew on an airplane. So, look, I'm saying all this. I'm also saying that I've talked to countless college coaches now that have had the virus run through their football team. Virginia Tech just played a football game where they didn't have their defensive coordinator available to call plays. And, you know, I asked them, has anyone been sick? And, you know, his answer was no. So, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it's a success because I don't know if we're going to play the game. And if we don't play the game, I don't know how you reschedule these games.
I said I meant success as in they got through 3 weeks without this. That's all. I'm not saying about this situation. I'm saying I can't believe college football has been every single week. Like, they have not had a week of nothing. I mean, every right. single week. That's why I said 3 weeks to me of nothing has been a success. Like, I can't believe they made it 3 weeks mm-hmm. of a full schedule. Like, I figured this, what we're talking yeah. about, would be every single week. Or close to
play?
It. Yes, I do. It's going to be Monday or Tuesday. I think they're going to play Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they will, which I think is a good thing, you know. And I think that the players will probably handle it well. You know, I've seen a few college games where the coaches have really moaned and groaned about the inability to have guys available to practice or coaches available to coach the guys to get ready. And then when they've played, you know, they've won the game and they've played fantastic. And so, you know, I think teams are going to be faced with this. And I think by and large, I think people watching will be impressed with the product.
Take us through, because Chris Sanders, when we were having this conversation yesterday, because this turned into our entire show. Sometimes you have to pivot when you're doing live radio, and we pivoted, and this was basically our show yesterday when talking about, okay, because Mike Vrabel made the comment, look, he's telling his players, you know, it gets out there publicly that he has told his players, if all we can do is go through the walkthrough on Saturday and we have to play on Sunday, this was yesterday, then that's just what we have to do, like no excuses. And I get that, you know, it's the whole coaching mentality we're just talking about, but how like realistic is that? And Chris Sanders texted me and he says, you know, most of the time during the week it's more about mental preparation than actually, you know, stuff, you know, if you're unable to do stuff on the field. How do you feel about that as a former player missing field?
Yeah, it's not ideal, and I would agree with Chris in that okay, it's not going to be your best game plan. You're just going to be timing things that, you know, you're not able to work on that week. You know, look, maybe there's a blitz that, you know, requires a little bit of timing, or maybe you need to check out of it based on a formation that you get, or, you know, whatever that situation is. And so maybe you don't have that blitz up for that week, or maybe, you know, you maybe have a route that you want to work on, a double move or something like that maybe would require some timing and practice. Well, maybe it's just not in the game plan to play. And so, you know, I think that's where, you know, it becomes more like, you know, when you watch All-Star games, when they're like, look, you can play this coverage. You can play man coverage. You know, you can play cover one man or cover three zone. Like, that's what you're allowed to play. That's it. Nothing else. And, you know, it's going to come down to blocking and tackling, you know, like every coach ever said, you know, when you started playing high school football. Like, I think it ends up being that. And so I think that Mike Vrabel has taken the right position, not because it's just good coach speak for his football team, but because, look, that's just the reality of how it's going to go now. Yeah. Like, people would have never dreamt of, and not in this environment, no one would have ever agreed to, hey, play a football game without a single practice leading up to it. But there's just the hand you're dealt, and so you can complain about it, or you can be like, yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it over Zoom. You know, stay ready. Work out as much as you can at home, and just be ready to play because we have to.
Oh, and by the way, in a season where you didn't have preseason either. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You know. It's...
And look, so... But what are your options? You know, and look, you may even have a guy, you know, hey, you got a tackle that's banged up. And so maybe you want to get the next guy some reps. And, In fact, you know, he hadn't really been playing a ton of left tackle. He's, you know, mostly been, you know, kind of swinging around and then playing right tackle some. And so now that's a challenge. But you know what? Like, so you got to figure it out. And so maybe you just find a way to make that not an issue as much as possible. And I think that's just what people are going to do. And I think for the Titans, you know, the tricky part is, you know, maybe they're kind of the first ones to have to go through it.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. And, Tim, I want to go back to something you said because I don't know that I had thought it through. Joe Rexroad from our staff and The Athletic asked the question to Mike Vrabel about the incubation period. And he said, is that why you, as of now, you can't get back into the facility as a group until Saturday? Although they were given the okay to bring their players in and get, you know, treatment for injuries, the Lawans, et cetera. And Mike Vrabel gave the answer of, you know, I'm not here to talk about the incubation period. I just listen to the experts and they tell me when we can go. And he seemed optimistic that there was a chance that they could get in before Saturday. And he said, there's also a chance we can't get in on Saturday and we have to wait. But I guess we should all be thinking that there's maybe some more steps to this before they get cleared, because I think Joe Rexroad then emphasized, because that does have to do with the incubation period being several days before you, in theory, could be carrying the virus and not show up on a positive test. Because that would be the worst case scenario. You wouldn't want something to happen, you know, hours before the game. You get that last run of tests and you do find out there's a couple more positives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and you probably laid it out better than I laid it out, Willie, and I think that's the thing that I have seen with college football.
Yes.
You know, we had production meetings last week with Virginia Tech. And, you know, their threshold in college football, or one of them, is six scholarship offensive linemen need to be available. Well, you know, that's great if you have six scholarship offensive linemen. But what happens if your long snapper, your punt snapper, is out? You know, in college football, like, for example, you know, they were down to their third and fourth, Virginia Tech was, long snapper a week ago. And they were not finding out until the morning of their game based on when they tested. And so I think that's the tricky part, especially with roster sizes being, you know, much smaller in pro football, is, you know, to that point of, hey, it's good news that we just have four positive tests. The problem is that we're not done testing, and in order for us to play, we're going to test again. And now what happens if, listen, our starting quarterback tests positive, or, you know, or our kicker for that matter? Okay, so now how are we scrambling to be able to play a game, and what's the competitive disadvantage at that point? So, yeah, I think those are all still legitimate concerns, and I think those are legitimate concerns all the way up through Monday, Tuesday, whenever the game ends up being played.
Yeah, and yet they felt confident enough to say, we're shooting for Monday or Tuesday. And it was funny that I think Dan Graziano was one that said this morning he was texting with a Titans player that said he had tested negative three times yesterday. So three results in one day. So you know they're doing as much possible testing that they can to get as much information up to the minute as they can. But
yeah,
go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, and then, you know, and I don't know the other side of this, but, okay, and so say that there is, you know, that concern. Well, what's the opposing team saying? Like, what are those players saying about playing a team that they're unsure about? You know, there's a lot of factors to this that I think are already unfortunate.
Yep. So, Tim, let's get to logistics. Let's say that they are able to get on the field and play Monday or Tuesday. The Titans are going to have to find a long snapper. I'm curious, have you ever in your travels, I know the punter does it a lot, have you ever been a holder level of college? So tell us about the chemistry that has to happen and how much that could affect. You got a relatively new kicker, and now you're going to have a brand new long snapper for the Titans.
Yeah, I will say this. Yes, I was a holder, and I can tell you the difference between somebody that's a long snapper in college and somebody that's a long snapper in the pros is totally different. So, like, you know, guys, you know, that were long snappers on some of the teams I was on, got like Mike Bartram, who played in the NFL for over a decade, Ethan Albright, same drill, Ryan Keel, another guy been in the NFL over a decade. And what I always found interesting with those guys was, you know, in college, you know, you would kind of be able to talk to your, you know, the snapper about like, hey, where you wanted the ball located. I remember getting to the Philadelphia Eagles and Mike Bartram saying, where do you want the laces? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, where do you want the laces when you catch it? And I'm like, oh, shoot. I mean, if I could get the laces right here, that'd be amazing. But how, like, how would you do that? They'd be like, well, I'll rotate the ball so that, you know, I know how many times it's going to spin and how it's going to spin that, you know, you'll catch it with the laces. And I thought, why? Like, I can't do that throwing a ball. How could you do that throwing the ball through your leg? But he did. So some of these guys are really, really good. And, you know, look, are there more than 32 guys on the planet that can be, you know, long snappers in the NFL? Yes, there are. But, you know, the operation's important. And, you know, there's a comfort level and there's kind of an expectation. So, yeah, I think that stuff can be a really big deal. It can be the difference between winning and losing a game.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine, here with us every Wednesday, usually at noon, on Darren Donick and Chase. So the Titans' opponent, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-0, currently atop the AFC North with Baltimore's loss to Kansas City. We've had many conversations with you about Ben Roethlisberger and what's his health like. So far, so good. He seems to be back to his form that we've seen in the past. Are you a believer in Pittsburgh right now of being one of the top contenders in the AFC?
I am. You know, when Kevin Colbert, their general manager, said at the combine that he expects Ben to be, you know, maybe in some ways better than he had been, you know, in recent years. And that was coming off of Ben's, you know, 2018 season where statistically it was as good as any year he had ever had. You know, for that team to go 8-8 last year with the quarterback play the way that it was, to have as much team speed as they have on defense, to have an offensive line as good as that offensive line, and then a healthy Ben back. Okay, when I heard him say that, I said, if he's telling the truth, they are a Super Bowl contending team. Maybe aren't the best team in their division, but they are a Super Bowl contending team. And I think that you're seeing that. And Chase, to your point about, you know, Ben looking like the old Ben, I thought there were two throws week one on stuff down the field that I thought, yep, like, that looks pretty good. That looks like the Ben I've seen. And then there was a play this last week, you know, where he's kind of scrambling off to his right and running and, you know, kind of initiates some contact as he's fighting for a first down. And I thought, this looks like a guy that kind of is playing fearlessly the way that Ben always had. So, yeah, I think they're a for real football team.
Is some of that psychological, though, of, you know, in his mind, he knows that he's closer to the end than he is the beginning, and that whether it's this year or next year, but there is that little voice in his head that says, I got a good football team. I got to take it while I can get it. This is almost over. And so does that maybe factor into some of this?
Yeah, look, I think for sure for Ben, I think there's been a change in him, I mean, quite honestly. You know, he was a guy that seemed like he was contemplating retirement, you know, and talking about it. I think some of the way, you know, the way he handled like Mason Rudolph being drafted, even publicly. You know, I just think that there was like this edge to him that, you know, made me kind of wonder like how much longer he was going to continue to do it. And I think there's been a change. I mean, I think he looks good. I think he seems like he's kind of applied himself to get in shape for the season. And I also think that, you know, sometimes having to take a step away and miss a game that you love playing, which I think he clearly does, can kind of, you know, make you miss it and, you know, light a fire again. And so it feels like we're seeing that with Ben.
Do you agree with the Nick Foles decision in Chicago?
You know, I think I do. I will say this, though. I thought it was the right decision to start Mitchell Trubisky. You know, I thought that he had played fairly well, you know, the start of this season. I didn't think he was playing that poorly when he was benched. You know, obviously it was the right decision because of the way that Nick came in and played. So, yeah, I think it's fine. I think Nick probably gives them as good of a chance to win. But I was a little bit surprised that it happened, to be candid. And I think when you make a move like that, it's kind of, now it's done. It's a decision that is, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered, I think. And so from that perspective, you know, you should really hope that, you know, Nick is able to stay healthy for the entire year. And, you know, that's not really been the case for him, you know, throughout his career. So that would be my biggest concern.
And then also we saw on Sunday Night Football, Green Bay, they moved to 3-0. Aaron Rodgers, even though they didn't really get him any help in the offseason, he seems to be making it all work so far through three games. What's your feeling on the Packers and Rodgers specifically?
Yeah, look, they were 13-3 last year, and Aaron had a really good year, not a crazy statistical year, and a lot of that was because Aaron Jones was so good. And then when you look at kind of how that offense was changing, you know, they were running the football more, and they were, you know, finding easy completions off of play action and stuff like that. And so, you know, I looked at Green Bay and I thought, well, shoot, they're 13-3. One of the reasons I didn't like the draft selection of Jordan Love was because I thought, well, what if you drafted Chase Claypool, who the Steelers have drafted, who's already been very good for the Steelers, and added him to that wide receiver group. And then let's say Aaron has a big year. Like, I think if you look at the NFC, I mean, yeah, look, New Orleans is really good. You know, I think, Seattle is always a tough, you know, competitive team. But, like, why not Green Bay? I mean, why can they not be in the mix? And so I think they're a really good football team. And, you know, I think they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have another good year. Aaron will have great numbers. And, you know, this move on from Aaron Rodgers, you know, probably doesn't happen the way some people maybe, you know, foresaw it, you know, we're projecting it to happen.
Last year's playoff game against the Titans and then Monday night's game against Kansas City. What's your level of concern, Lamar Jackson, in big spots against teams that have maybe figured out how to scheme against what Lamar's strengths are?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a big game issue for him. I just think that he's going to be kind of streaky. And so there'll be games that, you know, aren't amazing, especially if you can end up doing a good job in the run game. So I think that's just how it is. You know, when you watch him play, you know, there are games he's really accurate, but if you look at him, you're like, man, his feet were kind of out of whack. He drops his elbow way down, but he still makes a nice throw to the tight end. The guy makes a contested catch, and, you know, that is his third touchdown pass. And so, you know, when that's the case, like, I just think it's hard to be super, super consistent that way. And so I think you'll see games that aren't amazing. But, he's not done having – great games in big spots. I mean, that'll continue to happen. And, you know, it just didn't happen Monday night.
Good stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, maybe, sounds good. Stay safe, boys.
Maybe right after a Titans-Steelers game. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. You know what? A little post-game action.
Could be. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday on the program. If they play on Tuesday night, we will be reacting to the Titans and the Steelers next week with Tim. We'll come back. More on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Our NFL Game of the Week this week, which is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura, will be the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a pretty big matchup. That'll be Sunday at 3 p.m. I'm going to say that's rolling through East Nashville.
I'm
going to say that's coming from East Nashville.
Coming right down Eastland Avenue.
Yeah. I could just tell by the siren. No, I'm just kidding. I guessed.
It's an ambulance.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was a fire truck.
Yeah, that does sound like
I
a fire truck.
I just saw
that was an ambulance?
That was an ambulance, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I just saw it flash right in front of my window there.
Huh. guys, our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, he's alive and well. He has sent out some new odds.
We have odds.
Got some new prop bets, some new odds and prop bets. You guys want to tackle this?
Let's do it. And then so I know Willie has numbers that he wants to get to.
There's all kinds of props in here. Let's start with, will the Texans make the playoffs? The Texans and the Vikings right now are scheduled to play. 2-0-3 teams. Will the Texans make the playoffs?
No.
What is the heavy favorite? Yes or no?
No.
Well, we know the heavy favorite is no.
The heavy favorite is indeed no. The Vikings also, will they make the playoffs? The heavy favorite is no. Will the Eagles make the playoffs? Much less of a favorite. So the Vikings were minus 1,200 for no. The Texans were minus 1,000 for no, which is you would have to plop $1,200 down to win 100. That's how big of a favorite no is for those two teams. For the Vikings, Texans was 1,000. The Eagles just minus 500. So a little bit less on the Eagles side.
Well, they have a tie, and somebody has to win the NFC East. Somebody has to be given the title of NFC East champion. You have four teams, and you're like, is anybody good there? Like, as many problems as the Cowboys have, I still think if they get it together at all, they could win that thing, and I think the Eagles have to have the same attitude. Like, I think the Giants can't possibly win it, right? They're so bad. And then the Washington squad.
Oh, you caught yourself.
The Washington squad, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Do you?
No.
No. No.
I don't.
By the way, since 1980, only six times has a team gotten off to an 0-3 start and got to the playoffs.
But there's a lot more spots available than there was in 1980.
The last team to do it, by the way? Anybody know? Anyone?
Last team to start off 0-3, make the playoffs. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's not popping into my head.
Your buddy, Chase. Your buddy.
My buddy?
Yeah.
Timmy?
That dumb coach in Houston, Bill O'Brien. 2018 Texans got off to an 0-3 start and made the playoffs.
He's not my buddy.
He's not your buddy?
I did not remember that. I did not remember that.
I thought you guys were tight. My bad.
But it is, your odds are better just because there's one more spot in each conference.
Correct.
To get in.
Although they still don't believe that anybody's getting in. By the way, will any 0-3 team qualify for the playoffs? Minus 900 on no. So they do not believe the expanded playoffs changes anything for the 0-3 teams. All right. First coach to get fired, according to betonline.ag, is whom? Who's the favorite?
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn, Willie says. Chase.
I was going to say Dan Quinn. I think that's a very good guess. I will, just to be different, I don't know if I really have a different answer. To be honest with you?
Well, you should, because the one and two are separate.
Oh, Adam Gase.
Dan Quinn and Adam Gase are basically the favorites. Dan Quinn edges him out slightly as the favorite for coach to be fired, followed by Adam Gase. Who's third? Remember, we went through this the other day. Potential landing spots.
Right.
Openings.
Matt Patricia.
Yeah. Matt Patricia is third. Bill O'Brien.
Despite the win, huh?
How about that? Bill O'Brien fourth.
I was trying to kind of think where he might fall in that. But
Doug Marrone and Mike Zimmer tied for fifth. Vic Fangio, I don't think they're going to move on that quickly from him. And then Anthony Lynn. I think Anthony Lynn is I think he's at man walking. Personally.
Yeah, no, I think this will be his last year.
And by the way, to me, it may just be really, really bad luck, but is anybody questioning the medical staff with the Chargers? Because they have a whole lot of injuries every single year, like every single week, and I feel like this has been going on for years. They just lose big-time starter after big-time starter. Are you looking at their roster, the guys that are dropping left and right? The latest being Chris Harris Jr.
I did see in the wake of the Tyrod Taylor situation that it was a new doctor and that the previous doctor had some malpractice things. I think I didn't read the whole detail, but you do wonder, you know, are they getting the best care? They changed doctors, I guess, for a reason, but even this year. But, you know, this year you expect injuries in general. But, man, they have seemed to hit the bug.
Yeah, that is putting it mildly. Okay, the next quarterback to get benched. Who is the favorite? This is non-injury related. Who is the favorite quarterback, starting quarterback to be benched next, non-injury related?
Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz. Chase.
Pick Patrick.
Carson Wentz is not even on the list.
Really?
Ryan Fitzpatrick is second. Second.
I mean, well, okay, so could they have already replaced somebody, or just this would be the first time replacement?
This just came out, so this is current.
Cousins?
Cousins is in the middle of the pack. He's 10-1. Which would be interesting, right? All the money they've soaked into him, and he's getting benched.
In theory, I could say Ripien, because
he's
starting, and how short is the leash on him?
Yeah, he's not on the list. Still haven't named the favorite.
It wouldn't be Burrow, would it? I wouldn't think so.
No way.
Burrow's not even on the list.
Okay. I'm just trying to look at the bottom of the barrel. Minshew Mania?
Minshew is on the list.
He's
at
on
8-1. Yep, he's above. He's right above Cousins.
Replace him with who?
I don't know. Mark Brunell?
Yeah, is he still playing?
I'm not sure. Maybe he's on the staff or something. I don't know.
Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold is the favorite to be
really?
The next quarterback to be benched. Non-injury related, Sam Darnold is the leader in the clubhouse best odds.
And who's their backup?
Flacco, right?
Is he ready to play?
I think that's right. I think that's right.
Is he physically able?
Well, why would they sign him and have him as the backup if he's not ready to play?
But I haven't kept up with it, but when they signed him, I think they knew he wouldn't be ready week one. But he's ready?
Well, they must feel that way if Sam Darnold is the favorite for the next quarterback to be benched.
I guess
he's not. I just Googled it. Jets Joe
Who's
Flacco
it, Luke
not
Falk?
Ready to seize backup duties.
Yeah.
Luke Falk?
Is that who it would be? I have no idea.
He played a game last year.
That guy can't be in the league. Come on. He's not still in the league. Come
is
on.
It one of the McCown brothers?
No, he's on the couch. I think he's signed by Philly. He's just chilling on the couch.
Is it Matt Castle? Is he still hanging around? Darnold, followed by Fitzpatrick. Third is Dwayne Haskins. 5-1.
That makes sense.
Daniel Jones, 6-1. How about that? I don't believe that.
New York frenzy. Bench. People might bet on that because they're angry Giants or Jets fans. Get him out of there.
I can't imagine they're going to bench Jones. Minshew, Cousins, we've both mentioned. The next was Nick Foles at 12-1. Your boy, Teddy Bridgewater, also 12-1. Baker Mayfield, 14-1. Phillip Rivers, 16-1. Cam Newton, 33-1.
Sam Darnold, though, you guys know I'm not very high on him, but a lot of people are. The Jets are just a dumpster fire.
If they had Flacco, that might make some sense, even though at this point, you got to let the chips fall and let Darnold play, see what you got, because you might have the first pick, and you might figure out that, okay, we've seen enough of Darnold, we're moving on. Josh Rosen style.
Yeah.
So you have to let him play.
Here's an interesting one. Tell me what's the favorite, yes or no. Will Mitch Trubisky start another game this season?
I would say favorite,
non-injury,
yes.
Non-injury related. Will he just basically Chicago flop back?
Yeah, I think I would say yes is the favorite, slightly.
Yes is the favorite. Okay, Chase?
I'll say no, slightly.
No is the minus 400 favorite.
Wow.
It's a pretty good amount. No. Thought that was pretty interesting. How about you brought up Carson Wentz? How about Jalen Hurts? Okay. First start at quarterback in Philly. Here are your options. Tell me which one is the favorite. Weeks 15 to 17, weeks 12 to 14, weeks 8 to 11, weeks 4 to 7.
Non-injury?
It does not say that.
Does
not say that.
Because we know with Wentz,
true,
injury is always around the corner, it seems like.
Does not have that caveat in parentheses.
4 to 7. I'd say 4 to 7. It could be
seven?
A lot of different ways.
Wow. You think it's coming?
I think it's coming.
That actually is fourth. There's four categories. That's the fourth. So that's the worst. So they do not believe weeks 4 to 7. They believe that has the least favorable odds for him to be out there. So you've got 8 to 11, 12 to 14, 15 to 17.
I've made my guess.
You've laid your card.
I've laid my card. I'm going with 4 to 7.
They do not believe he's getting in until the end of the year. The favorite is weeks 15 to 17, which is surprising.
I think it's sooner than that. Whether it's the right move or the wrong move, I think it's sooner than that.
And thank you for playing another installment of BetOnline.ag.
I like it. Fun prop bets.
Yeah, those were fun. Okay. Willie, you've got some numbers. You want something you wanted to pass along?
Well, there's some good stuff. You have the Reds and the Braves in the meantime. Scoreless as they go to the ninth. And now Mark Melancon is in the scoreless
game.
Both starters are out, both threw tremendously well. Trevor Bauer went 7 2/3 of, you know, he was dominant for sure, but the Braves are still right there. And so now it's a battle of bullpens. Mark Melancon gets the first out in the ninth. Now, here's something for those that check out Football Outsiders, okay? And we've made a lot about the 3-0 start for the Titans. And it's a razor's edge, right? 3 games, 6 points. So with that in mind, the Titans are 13th in the team rankings for Football Outsiders after 3 weeks. And you're like, okay, I get that. 13th, because they haven't dominated, and they're behind a number of teams just statistically. They have they rank it by a category goal. Value over average is basically the best way. So the percentage. A team that might be at the top might be 20% above the average team. And then the lowest team might be negative 20% behind the average, which would be zero. Zero would be average, right in the middle. You're playing mediocre football. But this is where I thought was interesting. What is the number one team right now, do you think, that they have right now? After 3 weeks. This is our buddy Aaron Schatz and his Football Outsider team efficiency ratings.
For what now again?
Overall team efficiency. Who is number one after 3 weeks?
Kansas City.
No. They're only ninth.
Seattle.
And we can argue of what this really means.
Seattle is
fourth.
I should have asked that. What does that mean?
Well, it's just that the overall stats beyond win and loss are the best all around. When you put it all together, offense, defense, special teams. Seattle is only fourth.
Seattle's fourth. And you said Kansas City was where?
Kansas City's ninth?
Kansas City is ninth.
I don't understand that.
It's just the numbers are the numbers. It's not subjective in any way. It's just how the numbers are spit out.
Okay. Green Bay.
Nope.
Where are they?
Green Bay is eighth.
Tampa?
Tampa Bay is fifth, despite the loss on opening day.
How about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is two. So higher, two. Even with the, you know, what we perceive to be a fairly weak schedule, they are dominant enough with everything they're doing to be number two, but they are not number one.
Okay, did you say the Titans were 13th?
The Titans are 13th, and I'm going to give you some context of that here in just a moment.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think I'm going to shock everybody with this, and I believe this is the answer you're looking for. Are they in the Titans division?
Yes, they are.
Indianapolis Colts.
That is correct. Hmm. They are number one in the power rankings after 3 weeks, despite their record being 2-1. So,
do you know why? What plays a big part in that? Their defense is incredibly underrated. Like, nobody's talking about Indy's defense. It has been very, very effective through 3 weeks. Like, they're basically atop all the categories
in
defense. But nobody thinks that, right? You start saying defenses right now, you're going to say Baltimore, 49ers before all their injuries. I mean, the Steelers, you know, we would identify New Orleans, other defenses, but Indy's defense statistically is atop.
Yes.
A lot of categories.
And that is precisely what Aaron Schatz talks about as to why the numbers have come out the way they're a suffocating defense. And they are the first team with a loss to be number one after 3 weeks in their rankings and their number system since 1989 with the Browns. That's Bernie Kosar in the Browns. Now, let's look at...
I just don't get how the Chiefs aren't higher.
Well, it's just the numbers. It's just overall, I mean, they barely won their second game, right? They didn't look great in that game. So,
but they look pretty good, the 1-3. But go ahead.
Tennessee and Chicago are 3-0. Tennessee is 13th. Chicago's even lower, probably not surprising. They're number 17. So here's Aaron Schatz with the context. They are very low for 3-0 teams before we even start considering opponent adjustments. Each team's three opponents are combined 1-5 in their other games. They're among the 10 lowest 3-0 teams in DVOA history. That's the mark value over average, right? So the number one team of all time, the weakest 3-0 team ever, according to their rankings, is the 2000 Minnesota Vikings. So it's just showing that, you know, there's a lot to look into with the team's record. You know, we can shoot holes into the system of, you know, is that the end-all, be-all number? No, just like war in baseball is not the end-all, be-all number. But it is a little bit of a, you know, a thundercloud, if you will, on the 3-0 means something, yes, but according to these things, the more powerful statistical team right now is the Colts and not the 3-0 Titans.
Hmm.
But only time will tell. They'll play each other twice and we'll figure it out on the field, right?
All right, we will step away, come back our final time, wrap up Wednesday's show next. Can my beloved Indians crawl back into this very, very short series? In other words, they have to win or they're dead. Tonight they take on the Yankees. 6 o'clock is the first pitch. It can be heard on ESPN 94.9. So that'll be our MLB playoff game, and that's presented by Gary Force Acura. There's been a lot of new news on the Titans front. We played head coach Mike Vrabel's press conference at 10:35 this morning in the first hour. So, Chase, get everybody caught up to speed on what's been happening here today surrounding the Titans-Steelers game.
That's just mean of you to do that right now.
Chase
0-0
is divided
in the bottom of the
attention span is divided right now.
Or is it Neil? Is it 0-0? No
nil,
score.
Nil.
Or
Who's
is it Neil?
Neil Armstrong.
James Neil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So we do know that there is a fourth player that has tested positive for COVID-19, and we don't know the identity of that player yet. Mike Vrabel would not reveal who the personnel members were that tested positive. He did say that he has not tested positive. John Robinson's wife tweeted out that he was not one that tested positive, so we know that those two are good. The game, of course, has been postponed. We don't know if it's going to be Monday. Don't know if it's going to be Tuesday. But all feelings from Mike Vrabel, at least what I took away from his press conference, was that they're going to try and get it in. And he also said that it may not be Saturday that they get back in the building. It could be sooner and it could be later. So the reports of that it's definitely going to be Saturday of them getting back into the Titans facility, he's saying that not so fast. We're just going to have to wait and see. So I think we're going to, like with all of this, we're going to know more of this tomorrow. And hopefully we'll find out who that fourth player is a little bit later on today.
I love the level of optimism that he had and the outlook. I felt really good about it. But one sobering thing that Tim Hasselbeck reminded us of, and, you know, he's had the firsthand experience of, you know, his college football announcing situation where he's had the opportunity to talk to a lot of schools that have gone through this. He did make a good point. Because I think for us, we see, okay, only one more test. That sounds okay. You could deal with that. It's not, maybe that's not an outbreak, but he makes a great point that you can't know, even if you test a gazillion times, you could be carrying the virus and it won't show for another few more days. So they have to keep testing. We hope. I mean, certainly there's no further bad news and you still have a good opportunity, but let's just keep our fingers crossed that there aren't any more positive tests that come forward in the next couple of days, because only then will they be in the clear. And, you know, the incubation day, that or incubation period that Joe Rexroth was trying to get Mike Vrabel to expound upon, which he really didn't. You know, there's a lot of reports. If you look around, it's, you know, six to eight days. So that could take you all the way through the week. So I think with each passing day, you feel better. But I guess you can't rule out that somebody wouldn't test positive until maybe Thursday or Friday. So let's just hope. Let's hope for the best.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I'm worried that, because we said this yesterday, all right, there are three players that tested positive. Okay, what does Wednesday look like? What does Thursday look like? So far, we know only one tested positive today. We don't know who that is. But, and that's good. That's obviously best case scenario of anyone testing positive. You only had one additional player. But what if there's more tomorrow? That's just something to pay attention to.
Well, what it looks like is the NFL is saying unless basically the whole team goes down, they're going to play this game. This is part of it. This is why they've had expanded rosters. This is why they've prepared for this. And it stinks for the Titans because they may be the ones, they're going to be missing players, and the Steelers might not be affected by this unless it's just an injury situation. But it looks like all signs are pointing to me, like I said, unless there just comes back an unprecedented amount of numbers on the Titans roster, they're going to play this game. And if a couple more test positive, they're still going to go forward. That's my feelings today, subject to change, you know, Thursday or Friday show. But that's the way I feel today. I still think they're going to play it Monday. I really do.
Yeah, I think Monday.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
You may now watch the rest of the game. Scoreless bottom of the ninth. Winning run at first with two out.
Here we go. Can they do it? Ryan and Chase. Boy, it's going to be a spirited text
message. And Elijah.
Whoever wins this. And Elijah. And Albies strikes out. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.